Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
So for those of you that weren't here, last week we started, we did the first week of our DNA course, which is normally a course that would run over two nights as a small group. It is our course that kind of aims to capture the heart of who Compass is. Grasp who we are, who our heart is, why we do things the way we do. It kind of describes, I guess, the fundamentals and the distinctive characteristics of Compass. So we decided that we would do it as a whole church. We would all get on board, we'd all get sort of up to the same speed and know where we're going and why we do what we do. So last week, if you missed it, there is a podcast that you can check out. But as a bit of a recap, we talked about our history as a church, how we went from being a dream and a vision that God had given, how we got to here today, all the little things that took place. We explored our five deep purposes that we believe we're meant to present an uncomplicated gospel, to do so in an irreligious, family and a caring context, see people genuinely saved and activated in their faith, maintain a kingdom heart at all times. It's not about building Compass, it's about building the kingdom of God. And make sure we do all that we do with no compromise. We looked at our mission statement and why those words in those mission statement is so important, why they're so fundamental and at the core of who we are and what we do. That statement, called to our world, igniting active faith with the pure life-changing truth of Jesus. And then we also introduced our idea of vision and our vision statement. So who read the vision statement throughout the week? Good, you're ready for the test. So if you can all grab your paper and pen. That's awkward. All right. So this week, we want to explore a little bit more. We want to explore that vision statement. We want to look at the intangibles of Compass, some of those things that are hard to put into to words or a few words. So we've used lots of words. How do we operate? Our governance and structure, why use two words when you can use 10, hey? And we want to just look at sort of our programs and discipleship and why we do things the way we do.
So getting straight into it this morning as we take a look at vision. Vision is incredibly powerful. Again, my favorite definition is that clear mental picture of a preferred future. God has one for your life. The Lord, as the Lord said, you know, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper and to bless you. God has a design for your life. He has a blueprint. Getting on board, that is the best possible plan for our lives. And that holds true for us as a church. And so the long and sort of sensitive, challenging, exhilarating process of going through with the consultant of revisiting our mission and formulating vision was hours and hours, and then it was tried and tested and talked about with the leadership before it was presented to the church. So what you have been sent to you and the link in the weekly email and that document that you are to look at, can I just say that if you're serious about Compass Church being your home, you need to read that. If you don't read it, like, you just need to read it. It's really, no, because I was about to say something that I was going to regret saying, so I thought it's better off, maybe it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission, but in all seriousness, like, we should know. If you're working for an organization, you should know what that organization is about and where they're going, what they're wanting to achieve, and do their values and who they are as an organization line up with who you are. You know, you shouldn't just be rocking up here for the sake of a social outing, as much as that's fun. But, you know, God has got a very clear plan and purpose for us to see lives transformed and this community changed with the love and life and power of Jesus. And that's not something we take lightly. So that vision statement that you have, and it sort of hopefully tries to paint a bit of a picture about the preferred future we believe God is calling us to. And again, are we going to see in 10 years from now everything within that document fulfilled and come to pass? I pray so, but even if we get 50% there, it's better than aiming at nothing and achieving nothing. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. So if you haven't read it, can I challenge you to read it? Not to make me feel good, but for you to actually go, hey God, you've gifted and wired me a particular way, so there's certain things and experiences that you've had and ideas that God wants to give you to help that become reality, shift from words on page into reality, seeing lives touched and transformed. And so I guess the heart of us, one of the things that we've always tried to, Michael and I were just chatting about this morning, of trying to stay true to who God originally called us to be as we grow. One of the tensions that we are finding and will find, and we need people to clearly understand our mission, our vision, our values of who we are, so we can hold true to those things that God's called us to. Because so many organizations and churches start off in a particular way, and they sort of end up becoming institutionalized and become almost irrelevant for what they're actually originally intended to become. And that's why in the last 500 years, we've seen so many other denominations and things start up, because God's put within somebody's heart or soul a fire in their belly to get back to the purity of what the gospel is about, so that it can actually make an impact on the planet. And so anyway, that's a church history topic that we're not going to go into. But one of the things that we want to hold to as a church is that we're about big people, not a big church numerically. The numbers will take care of itself. So just check this video out. Just hopefully we'll explain it a bit better than I've just tried to.
You got a big head, dude.
It's a big head. And speaking of people that have walked past our church and stayed, Marg and Jeff, Marg actually gave birth in the early
Jeff
hours.
Didn't do much.
No, Jeff was just standing by. But little baby girl, Abigail, mum and baby doing well. So, go for it. 2:20 a.m. this morning, 9 pounds, 152 centimetres. Abigail, I forget the middle name, sorry. Is that okay? Anything else, Lou? When? Okay, thank you. Sorry? Had money. That's the kind of church we have here, right?
We're all going out. Lou, shout.
Yeah, that's right.
She got the quaddie on the baby. Well done. Well played.
I think, as Phil said, one of the challenges is that as we pursue what we believe God has called us to pursue, which is that vision document, and see the things in it begin to come to fruition, how do we stay true to who we were called to be? And that's where I think our intangibles come in. And our intangibles are a bunch of, characteristics, things that compass that can be a little bit difficult to put their name on, but are so important to who we are. And I guess we would use them as the markers to make sure that we are staying true to who we were called to be. And then as we grow, it helps us make sure that, yep, are we still fitting in and doing the things that we were called to do. So we know that words can be a bit cheap at times. We know that they can get overused. But they're the things, the intangibles are the things that we believe set Compass Church apart, make us a little bit unique. Hopefully it's good unique, not weird unique. But make us a little bit unique. And it kind of explains why certain things are so important to us. I think I appreciate in our church that as we're trying to grow and believing that God is going to grow us and we're going to develop into big people, and if you read through that vision document, and there is significant impact that we're going to be able to have within our community, in terms of staying true to who we started out to be, I think we have a church who are quite comfortable with providing very direct feedback. And so I'm assuming that you guys are going to take on part of the responsibility of these intangibles and of our heart and staying true to who we're meant to be. And obviously, you know, you're welcome to come and chat to us about those things or about whether that's been your experience of those things. But our intangibles are the stuff that we would hope people would notice. We would hope that people would experience. Maybe it's a heartfelt thing or maybe it's something that you witness and see. So I guess it's things like why is it so important to us to create a space where people can develop significant relationships? So let's have a look at that video.
I think I need some Botox. I'm going to look into that this week.
I think your head's bigger than mine too up there, by the way.
I'm going to be smooth next week.
I guess another intangible for us, well, this is going off track, isn't it? Another intangible for us, and one of the things that really fits into our five deep purposes, is the idea that this isn't just a group of people getting together, that it is a family, that it does have that sense of family and all that that entails. So here's another one of our intangible videos for you.
Now there's a face for TV.
Michael punching above his weight. Anyone? Yes.
Hey.
So am I. I'll admit it. Absolutely.
There's a few more intangible videos that we'll show throughout this morning, but we would love for you guys to give us your feedback on that vision statement, feedback on the intangibles, on your experience of them, about whether you think that they're good markers for us as a community and as a family and stuff. So normally when we would do this course, it would be in a small group and we would stop and discuss and pull some of those things apart. obviously there's a lot of people and you all have an opinion, and just shouting it out is not going to create a great outcome. So if you do have thoughts around it, we would love for you guys to email us. So shoot us an email at info@compasschurch.com and we'll get back to you, and we'd love to hear your thoughts about the vision statement and about your experience of the intangibles.
Yeah, so especially if you've joined Compass in the last 6 months, like Michael's just said, your experience in coming here, what are the things have you valued and noticed that has, I guess, kept you here? And I think that moving forward, like anything in life, for us to guard and protect these, for you to experience it, but to be a perpetuator of them for future people that desire to come and seek an encounter with God and relationship and a faith, that we all really catch that and protect and guard that. But also, depending on how involved you choose to get, will determine how connected you're going to be. And so, like, you know, it's a choice for all of us as to how connected we want to be. I get to introduce
I think I've got another thought on that, but I think we talked
did
about...
Did that hurt? How was that?
Having
mate?
A thought?
Did that hurt a bit?
Yes.
Having a thought? Yep.
Man, Mark, both had hard. I think when we were talking about it this morning... we talked about it, this Phil and I talked about it this morning, that like there's a sense of responsibility for us as a board, which we're about to talk about, and us as leaders to continue to present and make as many opportunities for us as a church community to engage in that stuff. But at some point, the responsibility for those intangibles actually gets handed over to us as a community as a whole. So yep. Things like being welcoming, things like family, things like significant relationships, I guess the board and as leaders, you can only present so many opportunities for people to engage and create significant relationships. And that's what they are, they're opportunities. And then there's a responsibility for all of us as a community to engage and partake in those opportunities and develop relationships or make it part of a family. So it's not an up the front thing, the intangibles. It's a family community thing that we all have a responsibility as members of this family to uphold those values.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So we'd love to hear from you around your ideas around that. Just moving straight on to, just because of just very noticing of time, just want to quickly just touch on the governance.
Yay.
Of Compass Church. Yeah, there's certain people that love this stuff, I know. If you suffer from insomnia, more than happy to email you our constitution. And that will solve that and resolve that very, very quickly. But we are, as a church, we are actually registered as a company limited by guarantee. So we do have directors as part of that. And then we also have a board. And so as a board, as a church, we are accountable, responsible to the denomination in which we're a part of, the Australian Christian Churches, as well as the government organisations, ASIC's, Office of Fair Trading, etc. But we also take our transparency and accountability in all that we do very, very seriously. So we actually have an external auditor that comes in, audits all of our accounts, etc., annually. We have that auditor's report. And we also have an open book policy for people who call Compass Church home. If ever you have questions about the way we do anything, you are more than welcome at any time to make an appointment with us to sit down, and whether it's with one of the board members or the treasurer, and to ask any questions that you have and to have a look at whatever you would like to. So we certainly desire to maintain total transparency and vulnerability and accountability in all that we do. And a part of that, one area of, I guess, governance that we take very seriously is our risk management and our responsibility as to be a safe church. And there is a program called Safer Churches, which we are, without blowing our own trumpet here this morning, for the size church we are, we are probably at the pointy end. We're at kind of like the forefront of the implementation, the adaptation of the recommendations given by government agencies and our denomination. I'm very, very happy to say, not because of me in any way, shape or form, but because of gifted, talented people, and notably one of those is Karen Hooper, whose birthday was yesterday. Happy birthday, Kay Wren. So our involvement with Safer Churches, as I mentioned, is partly directed by government agencies, but the Australian Christian Churches. And we do this and take this seriously because we're about protecting children and those that are vulnerable within the life of our community, or those that engage with any programs that we have. So we certainly don't apologise for some of the standards that we have in the life of our church, especially in the area of working with children, grommets, kids, youth, etc., and increasingly so. So there are quite specific interview processes and criteria to be met, working with children's checks, etc. And so we make no apology for that. I think, sadly, the church, in part, has not handled these things well, as the media would constantly be reminding us. So now we're just saying, not on our watch. And we're not just, we take this incredibly seriously. So we're grateful certainly for the work that Karen Hooper and also John Sutherland helps out with the Safer Churches stuff. And this is something that's constantly evolving and developing as the recommendations are coming out to us that we adopt. But if you have any questions around our Safer Churches programs, those two very attractive people up there, Karen and John, you're more than welcome to chat to them about any issues, concerns, if you have any at all. Please speak up. There are things that we could be oblivious to. And so the last thing we would ever want is for somebody to have a concern and find out something later that we could have done something about it. So they are your people to please talk to about these very serious matters.
Yeah. So moving on to our board. For those of you who don't know who our board members are, here's your chance to meet them. So our chairperson of the board is Phil. Phil likes water sports and aerobics, long walks along the beach, and movies that make him think.
Quiet dinners.
He's a Pisces. All right. No. Mate, you've been away all week. I've been cutting loose in the office. It's been interesting. No, so.
If you're visiting this morning, I apologise.
I don't even know where to go with that. So Phil studied at Ridley, to give you some background. He's an ex-physio, a personal trainer. He was a youth pastor. So I'm his fault. He was an associate pastor, and he obviously him and Nat are the founding pastors and senior pastors of Compass. Our secretary is Karen. Karen's birthday yesterday. Shout out to Karen. So Karen has been coming to Compass for the last 5 years. She's served on a host team really faithfully that entire time. She's got unbelievable experience around governance. She's served as secretaries and committee members on a myriad of boards, churches and not-for-profits, and she's a real blessing to us and the role that she serves for us. And as mentioned, she oversees all of our Safer Churches stuff. Ian, our treasurer, give it up for the treasurer. So he's had over 35 years of experience in finance, in companies that have a lot more zeros than what Compass have in their bank accounts. But we're working on it. We're getting there. But he's been attending Compass since 2010, and he serves as our treasurer. He's also in the worship team. He runs life groups and part of pastoral care and all the other bits and pieces that happen in the life of the church. One of our directors is Mulyadi Robin. Who is
Doctor.
So he's a genius, let's just put it that. And he, it's fair to say he's a world leader around the idea of servant leadership and how workplaces can be high performing and maintaining servant leadership. He's been coming to Compass since 2009 and also serves on our worship team.
Another director board member is this guy here, Michael. So affectionately titled the 2IC, and that's a title he gave himself because we couldn't think of anything to call him. So
1IC was taken.
Just a lot of words that we can't use as Christians. But he also works as a personal trainer and has extensive experience in that field. But one of the founding members of Compass Church, and he and Holly together have been on the journey for the whole time. Some best friends, and just very privileged to have them on board. Michael oversees Compass Blokes, as well as our Pathway of Discipleship. We'll touch on that in a minute, and serves as well on the setup team. Another board member is my amazing wife, Nat Brake. She has a commerce degree, majoring in marketing, and so has over 20 years experience in particular organisations as a marketing manager, Kmart, as well as within Flybuys, the loyalty program, and more recently at ANZ, but finished up there and then sort of went in and did some interior design work as well. There's another gift that she has, but obviously involved with us and our family in planting and pioneering Compass, and Nat is currently overseas chicks, which tomorrow night, ladies, make sure you're there, make sure you RSVP so they can cater, and also oversees our grommets, our walking through to preschool program. Our next board member, last board member, is Chrissy Allen-Kern, and Chrissy has over 17 years experience in financial services. Incredibly bright lady, incredibly humble, and over 10 years in senior leadership roles, and currently leading and learning and in development, learning and development within her new role. And she's been a part of Compass since 2009, and is also currently our women's pastor, oversees our global perspectives, and serves as part of the host team. So one of the things that you'll certainly, hopefully, have picked up through that is that incredibly, and I think speak on behalf of you, because I know I can on this one, but we are just, we have no idea why such gifted and talented, very, very smart people have stuck around us. And, you know, we're incredibly grateful, and it's because of his goodness the righteous will gather around you. And so we just want to honour our board this morning and the gifts and talents that they bring to the table. We haven't elaborated on their professional realms, but it's fair to say that they are senior people. But one thing hopefully you've picked up out of this, that all of us are serving in a capacity of service in the life of our church. You know, whether it's a host team, whether it's blokes, chicks, grommets, kids, life groups, and the list goes on. So we hold strongly to John 13, Jesus washing the disciples' feet. Jesus came to serve, not to be served. And so we role model that as a board, and that's the only time you'll ever hear us publicly say that, because we'd rather let our actions do the speaking. But just that's at the essence of us as leaders.
Yeah. So the next thing we just want to really briefly touch on, we're governed by a board as a church. We're not a congregationally governed church. So I know for some of you, you've come from places where you have a vote. As a member, as a church, we're governed by our board. So the board make those decisions in conjunction with talking with our pastoral team and staff, and prayerfully considered in all things. But what we do have at Compass is we have partners or partnerships. So they're people who call Compass Church home. And there's an opportunity when you've been coming and you want to buy in and you go, yep, this is the place for me. This is my home. This is the vision I want to support to become a partner. Partners are people who are committed to Compass Church, call Compass Church home. It's mission, which is your mission and your vision combined, if you're not sure. They take a responsibility.
Might take off.
They take a responsibility to help see the mission. We're running with it now. Come to pass. They protect the unity of Compass Church, and they serve within Compass Church's family. So,
right, keep going. You're going great. Right, okay. You're going great.
I'm on fire. So as a church, we make a commitment to support our partners, and our partners make a commitment to support us as a church. So the partners at Compass Church, people who have already made that commitment, are people who have a personal relationship with Jesus. They've been baptized, they've completed a pathway of discipleship either here or at another church that they've been a part of in the past, and they're regular ongoing attendance. So we're going to talk about this more a little bit later over the next few weeks and months and stuff. And let you guys know about opportunities to become partners and what that looks like.
Yep. So obviously Compass Church doesn't just happen because of one or two people. There is a whole bunch of people that serve faithfully. And so we have our board, we have department leaders who then lead teams to actually help make things happen, which are growing and expanding. And just quickly to go over them so you know who to speak to, but we have a wonderful host team here at Compass Church. And these are kind of like the engine, make things happen for us, particularly on a Sunday morning where we come in and just, yep, they certainly deserve a hand. So meeting you at the door, making you feel welcomed, offering buckets, communion, all of those sort of things, and along with the bristers and things, just making sure that you have a great church experience. And so, you know, one of the things that we want to make sure we hold to, one of our intangibles, is to be just a welcoming church. So just have a look at this video to hopefully explain what we mean by that. Yes. Punching above my weight. Yep, let's move on. All right. So that's part of what the host team does and does so well, but that's all of our responsibility in moving forward. So as mentioned, Nat oversees our grommets, which is our walking through to preschool kids, and they just do an amazing job. It's not a babysitting club. They have great activity and fun time and food out there, and starting to learn some of those Bible stories that are just we take for granted but have been lost in society, and just sewing those things into their lives is really cool. We also saw Holly just up there talking about kids, and Holly has re-engaged with kids this year and just doing a great job for our primary school age kids, and that includes a lot of fun and games and Bible and God and friendship stuff and pocket promises and things like that. And so, you know, certainly as a church, we believe in investing in our current and future generations. Yep. And so that's certainly, you know, something that we take seriously. So moving on to youth and young adults, we've heard from those guys this morning in the camp, but also Katie and Eldon with their teams do an amazing job with our youth and young adults and encourage you. So our youth is year 6 to 12s, and they meet here Friday nights, as well as doing a bunch of other crazy activities, and as well as our young adults guys. So that revolves more around food, hanging out, discussion groups, and just doing a great job with that. One thing that we all get to experience every Sunday is our worship. And Creative Min team do a great job, and it's just constantly growing and evolving. And just, I mean, I'm blown away at the amount of talented, gifted people we have in the life of this church. And Andrew De Silva oversees that with some great support from Ian Roundtree and Mulyadi Robin in helping make our worship team happen. And those guys are just doing a phenomenal job, and probably is an expression of the level of creativity that we desire to have as a church. So another thing that one of the intangibles that we try to hold on to is creativity. So check out this video to explain that.
So last couple of things as we're wrapping up. Chrissy Allen-Kern oversees our global perspective, which is our missional arm. Acts 1:8 says, "You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the world." So we believe it's our mandate to take the gospel message throughout the world. Our practical working at the moment is in Malawi. We have a community space. We have a school. We support some churches over there. We're looking to expand that and look at different areas and spaces where we can support churches and pastors with training things. Christy's got a great vision for that. It also supports Compass Community Care, which is our local arm of that. So we are very appreciative of the fact that she has such a great vision and heart for that. Shawantha oversees our prayer. Prayer is just one of those ongoing key focuses areas for us. It is fundamental, and we desire it to be fundamental to all that we do at Compass. We want it to be our reflex reaction to every situation, that as individuals and as church, good or bad, indifferent, confusion, whatever that space is, we would turn to prayer first. We would be turning to God first. So we want to be encouraging and providing opportunities for you guys to pray, obviously individually, within life groups, within the different departments. We also have prayer meetings that happen pre-service. So if you want to get here at 9:30 on a Sunday morning, we will be praying. We'd love to see you there. On a Friday morning in the office space, there's prayer. And every second Tuesday night, there's also opportunities for you guys to engage in corporate prayer. So if you've got some questions about that, go and see Sher. He'd love to chat to you about that. We have Blokes and Chicks, which Nat and myself oversee. Surprisingly, I do the blokes and Nat does the chicks. We tried it the other way. It didn't work out. So they're monthly catch-ups, opportunities to hang out, intentional growth, pursuing God. So they've been really great spaces. So as Phil said, don't forget, if you're a chick, get to Chicks on Monday night. To all the blokes, well done. We've been praying and fasting. We're about 12 days in now to our 21 days of prayer, fasting, and stillness, which is all the most frustrating things in life combined in 21 days. But God is doing some pretty amazing stuff in the lives of blokes, and the implications of that we'll be able to share with you over the next few weeks. Our next area is discipleship, which I oversee. It's a great one for us to be always be looking at. Our question for the year was, what's next? So as discipleship for our entire church, we're looking at opportunities to connect and grow. So that's things like Chicks and Blokes, Life Group, Prayer. We're looking at opportunities to learn and grow. So that's our pathway of discipleship. So we've just started another Alpha course on Tuesday, which is awesome. We've been looking at we've got D101, which is the foundations of what we believe we're called to do as a church, starting. So if you have not done D101, then can I encourage you, go to the hub and sign up. That's starting in August. So that looks at what we believe about salvation, baptisms, tithes, offerings, communion, the Holy Spirit. We also have our Choose Your Own Adventure series starting next week. So we'll be passing the clipboards around for that in a second. But we are looking to continue to provide opportunities for you guys to engage and grow, that we shouldn't be stagnant in our faith. We should be growing. We should be intentionally growing. And so we want to always be providing opportunities for us as a church family to be doing that. Our last area is one of our most important, not that all the others aren't, but it's pastoral care, which Sher oversees. He's the most caring man I've ever met. And so the purpose of pastoral care is to empower and grow individuals and teams so that we can fulfill the vision of Compass Church through discipling and just caring for people, that we should be reflecting Jesus' love. So this is a really big area in our church, and we have a quick video to show. Great. Thanks, Sher. He mentioned, one of the key things that we do is life groups. John Sutherland oversees life groups, and he does a fantastic job of that. So life groups are groups that meet together in people's homes. They chat, they hang out, they're supporting each other. Some of the groups talk and go through a really structured Bible study. Other groups, it's a little more freestyling. So whatever your group does, we appreciate you as a life group leader sowing into our church and opening up your homes and providing that space for people. It is an invaluable part of who we are. If you're not part of a life group, then you're going to have an opportunity to have an expression of interest today, and Cheryl will get in contact with you. But we've just got a quick video that talks about just a couple of people and their experience at life group.
Great. Life group, certainly something to look at. Once again, we provide these opportunities. It's up to you. So the question this year, as Michael said, was what's next? And what is next for you? Inward, outward, upward. So we're going to pass some clipboards around now. We're just about to wrap up, but we're just going to pass some clipboards around, as Louise probably articulated far better than I'm about to try. We have 4 weeks, and there's going to be 4 courses that go for 2 weeks each. Okay, so over the next month, what we would love for you is to put the challenge out there that you would be here 4 weeks in a row.
What?
Four weeks in a row, so that you can do 2 courses in totality. Okay, so each one goes for 2 weeks, and over 4 weeks you can choose your own adventure, choose two. So there are clipboards going around that have the dates for the first block, next Sunday, the 29th, and then the first Sunday in August is where the first rotation happens, and then obviously after that. So you can just express your interest. Just helps us to know where to allocate the groups. We'll be gathering together for worship. Then after that, release the kids, and the youth are going to have their own elective. And then we're going to use 4 different spaces in the building to move to. And then we'll come back together at the very end for a very brief time, maybe of worship, or just to wrap up the service as a whole. So just want you to tick a box and put your details there so that we can actually know where to actually allocate which groups for. So just as a reminder, the 4 different courses are deepening your personal prayer life, positioning yourself for God to move, and then looking at God at work in the workplace. And then the last one is integrity.
It's not a test. You can't choose the wrong one. Just pick anyone, please.
Tick a box and pass it on. Would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. But also, as mentioned, if you would like to know more about the D101 course, if you have never completed the D101 course, then you can ask questions at the hub today, find out more about that, and express your interest. That's coming up in August. But we really want to provide all the opportunities we can for you to be able to answer that question, what's next? We want you to learn and grow this year. We want you to get to the end of this year and just clearly know within yourself that you have grown and been stretched in your walk with the Lord. So just one other thing is that if you, like we just mentioned, if you want to know more about life groups, then John Sutherland will be at the hub after the service for you to chat to him about that.
Yeah. So the other opportunity that you guys have is the opportunity to serve within the life of our church. So if you're new to our church and you've just been coming for the last couple of months, then we want you to just sit back, chill, relax, figure us out, let us figure you out, see where that lands, see how we all feel about each other. But if you've been coming for a little while, then we would like to give you the privilege the honour, the opportunity to join one of our service teams. Our church is not, we keep saying this, it's not a spectator church, it's a participation church. We have an amazing group of people who are regularly rostered on for our hosting team. So the stuff that Phil talked about, meeting at the doors, there's other opportunities to make coffees, welcome people. There's some opportunities to get on board for one-off events. So if you think you could put your hand up and go, hey, let me know, because I might be able to come and help set up or pack up from a specific event. Hey, I could help out in the car park, getting the flags out. Some of those regular things, the things that we do every single week that make church happen. If you've been coming for a little while, we say 3 months, and you're not doing anything, how come? There's plenty to do. No, but we would love for you guys to join us and help make church what it is and help make our family function. So we have a clipboard where you can just pop down your name. If you would like, if you're not doing anything and you'd like to start doing anything, then trust me, we have plenty to do and there's lots of great opportunities. And it is one of the great ways that you will get to know people within the life of our church. So that clipboard is getting passed around.
Yep, you can pass that one around. Yep. Now. Yep.
Pass that one around.
And the other thing about any involvement with a host setup team or any team for that matter, we will train you. It's not rocket science, but we'll make sure that you are confident. If you have an inkling towards wanting to be a barista, we will train you in that area. For example, also the host team got great team leaders who will make sure that you are very confident and comfortable in the role that you fulfill. I think we all desire to see the kingdom of God extended through Compass Church. We all want the outcome, but there is a journey and there's a process we have to go through. And one of the things that you will keep hearing us saying is that we want to be prepared, not cope for growth. So one of the reasons we've just done last week and this week is to make sure as a community, as a family, we're all on the same page and we're all positioned for the growth that we believe God is going to continue to bring into this place. Yep. So that we're just all clearly knowing exactly the direction in which we're heading. And if you're not helping out, we would love to give you that privilege of getting on board a team so we can be better prepared for the increased growth that's going to be coming through our doors.
Yeah. So if you've got any questions about anything we've talked about or anything in the vision statement, please email us. We'd love to be able to have that opportunity, whether that's to clarify stuff or talk to you more about it. Phil, would you like to close in prayer for us?
That's here endeth the lesson. Mm. Okay, I'm just giving people the time to write down because there's so many people signing up to join a host team and those clipboards. If for some reason the clipboard didn't come your way and you're really disappointed and you really want to put your name down, you can go to the hub afterwards and we'll make sure that we'll be more than happy to take your details for that. But hey, why don't we stand and close in prayer? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for who you are. We just thank you that you're a gracious, caring, loving God, that you have so much in store for us as individuals, for families represented here, and also for your church. Father, we haven't even begun to scratch the surface within this community. And Father, there are literally just hundreds, if not thousands, of homes round about us that aren't even aware that we are meeting here. There is so much more for us to do to see Jesus Christ honored and glorified in this city. And Father, we just thank you once again for this space that we find ourselves in today, that you've provided us with a space. But Father, we want to use it for your glory and honor. And so, Father God, I just pray that you would continue to guide and lead us in the directions that you have for us to go. And so, Father, we just commit ourselves to you as a community of faith, of people that are just wanting to love you with all our heart, soul, and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. So, Lord, we just ask your blessing upon those here, those that can't be with us this morning. And we pray this in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.